Thank you, Father. And don't hear me, hear the Spirit. Don't put all that pressure on me. Amen. Thank you, Father. I want you to begin, if you can, turn to Jude. Right there. Where the last thing after that is, and my Bible here says, dealing with the last things after that. So we're on the journey to the last. We're speaking of the last of the last of the last. My goodness. That's fine. I'm trying to figure that out myself. I like to look at the first couple there about the churches because I need to be aware of that and all of us about the church. Be that church that he wants. But as I was beginning to share some things, and I just, this past week it's been like, okay, let's go to something else now or whatever the case might be. But I just continually find myself in that particular vein of God, maybe that vein of digging in a mine, huh? But I find myself in that vein of God to keep focusing on some things that we are responsible to be about. And I thought, oh, come on, Lord. As I read this and kind of put some thoughts together, it's like, oh, let's do something else. But it just kind of kept within me, and I want to go there and just share it. I trust and believe that the messages that come forth are the messages for that hour, for us, this church, for the week, for the time, for our lives. Maybe it's just for one person. I don't know. But let it be used, Lord, as you see fit to speak into all of our hearts or just one of our hearts. Because that's what God's word is about, is to speak into, I'm going to turn ourselves, is to speak into these things to where it affects us. We need to be affected by God's word. We have got to allow God's word to affect us in a way of changing us, correcting us, preparing us, and to fulfill that destiny and that plan that he has for all of us. But it takes all of our parts, it takes my individual part to play with that, so I've got to focus as well as you. But as I look at this today, I'm looking at it, and I started, and then we're going to get there, because where I started was like, well, Lord, that's not where I started thinking about this, because it was in the first part of Jude. But I read through it, and it hit me in this area here, because I find ourselves to, when you look at people throughout your life and your day and your week, you find people where they're down, and they're going through difficulties and things. And what I find this is, I'm going to start over in Jude, verse 20. Good thing about Jude, there's only one chapter, so just go to verse 20. And we'll find that what we're going to share in the beginning about building yourself up. We are responsible to build ourselves up, according to Jude. This is written by Jude, the brother of James, likely the James who was the brother of Jesus, you know, as far as who wrote this. It's not written to any particular church or any particular city at the time, but we look at it, it was probably as written for, I tell you what, I look at, especially in the Bible, when it wasn't written to any particular, like, church of Corinth or Ephesus or whatever, this must be written for the church of Rock County, for the people of Janesville, for the people of Harvester's Church, whatever the case might be. But really, all the letters are for that, but specifically, they have been written for things at the time. But a little bit of that, we do find that this was written, and really not to a specific, but I think what it was written to is because we saw even back then, Jude saw back then things happening. Now, again, Jude, the brother of James, likely the James who was the brother of Jesus, like his older brother James, he did not really place his faith in Jesus while the Lord was still alive or doing a lot with that, but it was only after the crucifixion, the resurrection, you know, did we see these things happen, or did he see? It prefaced this in this article that I was reading. It says, the scales that fell from his eyes, and he became a follower of of Jesus after that, you know. We all have scales on our eyes, and they got to come off. Your scales have to come off. If you got scales on your eyes, say, scales off! You know, get off my eyes so I can see. So we find in Jude 20, 21, New King James. I like how this titled and started out in my Bible above that particular verse area. Maintain your life with God. You, today, are challenged with maintain your life with God. Don't blame it on Pastor Tim. Don't blame it on the church. Don't blame it on this or that or that organization or this organization or whatever book you read off of the bookshelves. No, you maintain your life with God. And it starts out with this, what, in verse 20? But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most, what, holy faith. Without faith, it is hard to please, or you cannot please them. Without faith, faith. We get into all kinds of faith stuff. But your most holy faith, praying in what? Yourself? Praying in the church? Praying in somebody's name? Praying in the Holy Spirit. That's why it is vitally important, ladies and gentlemen, that you have the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit has to be so active in your life, because that will help you keep from straying. That will help you glean and grow in the things of God, that of the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the what? Love of God, and looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We are going through this life. We're going through a lot of situations, but praise God, when my life is over, I have eternity planned out. I have a great place to go. How about you? But I'm here, and while I'm here, I'm going to put my feet to the pedal and the pedal to the metal, and I'm going to go for God. How about you? Don't give up. Don't take your foot off the accelerator and coast. Sometimes in our Christian life, we feel like we've peaked at the top of a hill, and what do you do back in the days when you're driving your car and you get to the top of the hill and you crest that hill and going down a pretty steep incline? You ever been to those churches? those inclines of hills, I find it very exhilarating when you go to one of those, especially in some of the mountainous areas, and they always have a sign there that says, caution, whatever, like something like 7% grade or 10% grade or something like that, and it's like this, you know? It's telling you, be cautious. It had like runoffs and stuff. What that was for is that the brakes on the truck failed. What are they supposed to do? Run off in that area. And the other area was going up a hill to slow them down or whatever. It just lets you know that it's steep, incline and hairpin curves and all these things. Do you realize in your life you've got steep declines and you've got hairpin turns that you got to go on sometimes? Or you'll fall off or go down and crash and burn. But I think when we look at this, we have to maintain these things in our life. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ until eternal life. I've got eternity figured out to the point of, I don't understand it all, but I know that's where I'm going to go. I just know that I know. You can't tell me I'm not going, because I got Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I've received Him, and I just... That's what he said. I go to prepare a place. Amplified says this, but you, beloved, build yourselves up on the foundation. Now, you know, anything that we build today, if it's not put on a foundation, it's gonna give and take with what? However the little ground goes. So goes the ground, so goes the foundation or lack of the building. I've noticed that even this last few weeks with the ground where we had a fence installed and a gate across our sidewalk. And when everything's good, the gate opens up fine. I got to raise it because it doesn't go all... It only goes one way. I want it to go swinging both ways, but I got to raise it just a little bit more to swing for the elevation of the sidewalk. But that's neither here nor there. But I did notice the one way that it did work all of a sudden got kind of hanging up because what? The freeze in the ground swelled, and it raised it just enough that I noticed the very bottom of that gate is like drags or kind of hits right on that particular area of the sidewalk. It's not scratching it, but it's different. Why is that? Because I just laid the slab over some rock and dirt and sand, and it really has not a foundation. It does not have a footing to go down to keep it anchored. Amen? Anchored. That's what the foundation does in a house, in a building, in any high rise, whatever the case might be. If you're building something, you don't want it to go up and down and go with the season of the time. You put a footing and a foundation into where that footing goes down below the what? Frost line. And even though that ground starts growing up, the anchor holds. The foundation, that footing holds that house or that property or whatever from going with the ebbs and flows of the particular ground. You got to have your foundation in Christ. You got to be anchored in that area. You got to go to where when things around you go up and down, that what? You don't go up and down with it. That you remain on that plane that you started at, And although everything else here under you or whatever is happening, you're going to remain at that level and nothing's going to happen. But anyway, build yourselves up on the foundation of what? Your most holy faith. By doing that, continually progress. See, when we remain in faith, we continually progress with the things of God. Do you believe that? Because as we remain in faith, we're going to go through some situations and hard times and good times and hard times and good times. Anybody can have faith when everything's good. I can be happy when everything's good. Can you be happy when everything's not so good? That's where we trust and rely on our faith to get us through these things. But it says to your most holy faith, continually progress. You know what it continues on in the Amplified in these brackets? It says, rise like an edifice. Edifice, higher and higher, rise. We want to rise to these occasions. And it's talking about, you know, you progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher, by praying in what? The Holy Spirit. An edifice. Do you know what an edifice is? It's a massive structure. It's a cathedral. It's a massive building. It's not just a three-story building. Oh, no. No, in your faith and as you began to grow with God, you started out, I tell you what, you started out as a ranch-style house. Some of us probably started out with just a basement house. I don't know. But we began to grow. Got one level. Say it out and we'll pray it out. Come on, brother, come on. It's good to hear. Speak back to me. I love it. You know, I love to share these things because it's like we all started out as a single level. Now we're at second, third, fourth, fifth. Hey, hallelujah, we're going to go bigger and bigger and greater with God in our lives. Edifice. Continue to grow. Continue to build. Continue to get higher with these things by the Holy Spirit, by praying in that of the Holy Spirit. Does it not do but give you encouragement and build you up? What happens when you get built up? You get to be higher. Your edifice is growing. You stand above the problem. Hallelujah. We need to stand above the problem. We got to stand above the situation in our personal, natural life that we're going through, because I've got my anchor in God. I've got the Holy Spirit in me. I'm praying, and we're going to find out a little bit more about this. Let's keep going. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Waiting what? Waiting anxiously and looking forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we anxiously looking for Him? Are we anxiously waiting on? Are we looking? And are we, you know, when you've got somebody coming over that you've not seen for a while, or that somebody that you really love to see and talk and converse with, are you looking out the window? Are you checking every time you hear a car drive by or some kind of noise outside? Do you go to the window to say, "Hey, are they here yet?" Oh no, it's just a car passing by. Hear something outside? Hey, are they here yet? No, that's just the paper boy just dropping the paper off. You know, why is that? Because we're anxiously awaiting on somebody coming to visit us. We need to be anxiously awaiting, ooh, the things of God. Waiting anxiously. He will come. Be prepared. Amen. Have your lamps trimmed. Have your lamps filled with oil. Woo! Have yourself prepared, brother and sister. Waiting anxiously and looking forward to that mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will bring you to eternal life. Again, eternal life. But I've got to maintain my life with God. Before I get that promotion, before I get called home, I have got to get to that level of where I want to maintain my time with you, God. And if I don't do it, chances are something's going to wane. Something's going to not develop like it should. I'm going to get sidetracked. I'm going to get taken, you know, things across my path that will detour me from following you in a persistent, consistent basis. So be like that of an edifice. Rise like a cathedral. Rise like the tallest building that you'd ever think of, you know? Hallelujah. In the New Living, it says this, but here it is too. In the New Living, it says that same passage, Jude 20:21. It says, "Oh now, but you, dear friends," and I like this, "must build each other up into your most holy faith." You know, We want to encourage, we want to exhort, we want to pray, we want to be there for the others, right? So we want to do that, and granted it is, that person, you know, we all have that responsibility within ourselves, but God puts us into a relationship, into a congregation, into the body of Christ, whether you're at this church or any church around, it doesn't matter, as long as it's the church of Christ, amen. And that is a church that stands on, believes in, continues to minister and preach on the values of God in this society and where we're at. We don't waver from God's word. We don't change God's word. We don't want it. I don't want God's word to change, do you? Once that begins to happen, it's all up for grabs. Once that word begins to shift here and there and we change a set, couldn't we just, there's probably been times in my early on with God that I didn't like something that I'd read in the scriptures, and I probably said, well, God, couldn't we just change the word around a little bit? Couldn't we just change and get rid of the but? You know? Why do I have to read if before that? Why? It would be so much easier if you just said, I will bless you always no matter what you do. I like that. I will bless you and be with you if I will be there for you, but, you know, may be with you. Yeah, may. Amen. In our walk with him, we desire that probably in the beginning, but then we realize that, you know what, if I begin to want him to change on my account, then everybody can have that. And pretty soon, if we got 25 people here and you all have a Bible, we could have 25 different Bibles and say, well, I'm going through this situation. What does your Bible say about it? Wow, that sounds a little too strict to me. What does your Bible say? Well, that sounds a little bit better. I maybe can manage that. Well, hey, sister, what about your Bible? And it's really a loosey-goosey thing or something like that. And you go, hey, I love that one. I can handle that. It sounds pretty vague. We want to look for the power of God in what he wants and calls sin. We want to look at that and say, "What? Vaguely tell me, God. Just give me vaguely what you call." You know, and we'd shared this sometime back, and we went through this many years back. But it's like when I came to you and I said, you know, when I asked God, what's the degree of sin, 1 or 10? And God told me that, you know, 10 being bad. I said, it's this. He says it's a 10. What about this sin? It's a 10. Okay, God, what about this one? It's a 10. Lord, why is it everything that I'm saying that you call in your word as far as these will not inherit the kingdom of God, why isn't there a sliding scale as far as how important they are, how least important they are? Because all of them to God are sin. The only thing that came into being a gray area is man. Don't we say that? You know, oh, it's just a little white lie. Is there a black lie, white lie, red lie, yellow lie? Lie is a lie. Oh, it's just a gray area of sin. It's not. It's bad, but it's not as bad. No, no, no. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for being a God that calls it as it is. I, as a follower, need to understand that. Because, see, once we have that understanding, that realization with what God calls good and what God calls bad, I can follow that. And if I can't follow it, I know that I need to get help. And if I know I need help, I can either go through talk to another brother or read his word some more, ask the Holy Spirit for strength, whatever the case might be, but be able to cry out and to be able to come to God and say, God, I know this upsets you by what your word says, and I'm so thankful that you don't change it just for me. But Lord, help me have the strength to fulfill what you want this to be so that I don't entertain that, so I don't go that way. That's why we have such a confused state of people out there today in our lives, in our churches, in society in general. And I tell you what, say, what do you tell me? I'll tell you what, the entire, especially the New Testament, was written to the church. It wasn't written for the sinners out in the outside. It was God's plan to say, hey, listen, guys, listen to what my son's saying, because I'm giving it right to him, because Jesus says, I only say or do what he so shows me to do. The Holy Spirit will come after I go, so he will only lead you into the things and the promises and the trust and all the truth of these things. This is written for the church. We need to be ministering to the church. We got to speak into the lives of the church. I think so many times our churches have gotten their eye off of taking care of themselves, because we always like to look outside, and it's easy to say, look at the sin that's out there. Look at the darkness that's out there. Look at the grossness of negligence out there. Okay, let's go over here. Let's look in the church. Look at the sin in the church. Look at the gross negligence in the church. Look at what the church is happening and doing. Look at the falling out. Look at the apostasy. Look at all these things coming in to my kingdom that I say is bad, and they're allowing it in. We as individuals maintain that life with God. The church as a corporate body needs to do what? Maintain that life with God. It's not just me, because remember, you maintain your life with God where it needs to be. I do that. We come together as a corporate body on Sunday. We become what? The church meeting corporately, and we're going through this, and we're thanking God that He's taken us on this journey, and that, yes, we are not perfect, but we're getting there, I hope. Hallelujah. Ooh, you know? But we've got to be cautious, and we've got to maintain these things. And we've had so many organizational things in these groups out here that we've not maintained our alliance, our allegiance to God. Because it seems like God is so far out there. It's not like I could just go to one of you and talk to you like I could talk to God in the flesh and say, tell me and look in your eyes. But yes, I can look and talk to Him and see His eyes by that of the Holy Spirit in me to see the Spirit to Spirit. That's why it's important, vitally important, to pray in the Holy Spirit, to keep the Holy Spirit involved, keep the Holy Spirit a part of the entire structure of the church of today. And we're following more and more to where we don't want the Holy Spirit in here because we don't understand Him. We can't see Him. We don't know Him fully. There's a lot of goofiness that comes in with it. You know what? In the natural, or not natural, but in the flesh, there's a lot of goofy pastors out there. But people still go to them. Oh, I'll go to a goofy pastor, but because I don't understand the Holy Spirit and people and those kind of goofy things happen, I'm going to stay totally away from that Holy Spirit. No, don't do that. Just say, Lord, that was goofy. But if that was You, help me understand. But if it was goofy, Lord, protect me from it. That's what Jude is telling. That's what we're finding in this. That's why we find so much through the Word and through the letters and Paul and different ones. It's like protecting and telling and growing and developing the communities and the churches that were a part of that. And you can come through there and give a great message and everybody's on board, and pretty soon they go to another community or another area or country, and probably 3 weeks later, what comes right behind the truth and the Word of God? Deceivers and deception comes in, right? The follow right after that, construing and changing the Word of God, and all of a sudden they're kind of getting mishmashed around and they're following idolatries and things. And then that man, how many times did Paul have to go back and say, or Timothy, well, I'm back. I left you this letter before and I see you're not following it now. Here we go again. We got to guard ourselves, because as the Spirit of God comes in and begins to minister powerful things to us, there's always a counterfeit, and the spirit of the devil will come around thinking like, I've got to mirror that and sidetrack them, and they will think it's that of their God. And if I can sidetrack them enough to get them where I want them to be, I can get them down that, here again, that slippery slope, and get them away from the things of God, and I can get enough deception in there, and they begin to think of themselves, well, I'm a holy person. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe, you know. Maybe you start doubting those things. Maybe you start saying, well, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I think once we're filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't say I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I say I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I was kind of gives me a connotation that I was at one time. But if I'm filled, I'm filled. I am, I am. Not that I'm saying that I am of the I am of God, but didn't God say that? Well, who shall I say you are? I am that I am. Once we get that of God, once we get the Holy Spirit, stay connected to Him, stay a part of Him, build yourself up in the Holy Spirit, and you don't ever have to be part of your verbiage of saying, well, I was filled. No, I am filled with the Holy Spirit. He is in my life today, and He will remain in my life today, but I got to maintain it. I got to maintain my spiritual life with the things of God by praying. Now let's keep going. Hallelujah. Build each other up in the most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Power. Power in the Holy Spirit. Wait for the mercy of our Lord. Mercy. 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 God is full of mercy. Jesus Christ full of mercy, who will bring you eternal life. In this way you will keep yourself safe in God's love. Jude is exhorting that the vital spiritual growth comes through praying in what? The Holy Spirit. Quickly. three areas that we can address regarding praying in the Spirit is this. Praying in one's own language is prompted by the Spirit. Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Father," or "Abba, Father." Abba, Father. Praying in your own language. You can be powerful praying in your own language, right? You pray the Scripture. You pray whatever. You just pray in power and boldness. I don't have to get into the Holy in the Spirit of tongues to pray powerfully. I can pray powerfully in my own vernacular of just what little I can understand of English and pronounce certain words. I try to stay from big words. But I can stay powerful in the things of just speaking out my tongue, of confessing and fighting to the point of just putting the thing, put the devil down. You know? There's power in your tongue. Life and death is in your tongue. Why not put power in death? Put power in that of God and bring death upon that of the devil. You get out of here, devil. You cannot have this person. You cannot control this situation. You are defeated, devil. Get back to where you belong. You will not have authority. I will not bow down to you. I will not entertain your thoughts. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. And the devil, I would hopefully go, wow, he must really believe this stuff. Yes, I do believe. Because then he'll come on you and say, "You really believe that, Tim?" Yes, I do, devil. Get out of here. Anybody ever had to tell the devil to get out of your way? Did you go, or did you just let out with your voice saying, "Get out of my way, devil. Get behind me." Jesus didn't speak in the Spirit when he was getting tested. Even though he was filled with the Spirit, he just spoke to him, "Devil, get thee behind me." All you need to do, "Devil, get behind me. My Jesus who I'm following, who redeemed me, who brought me back to God through that of the cross, he said this to you, and I serve it again to you." Serve the devil the same papers that Jesus did, right? Get behind. You don't have to have any new papers drawn up. Just take what our Lord and Savior did. Hallelujah. We get into people that have called years back, "How do I battle the devil? How do I get and take care of the devil?" Yes, ma'am. It is important to know God's Word and to know who you are as a child of God. That you can remind, you know, the devil knows who you are in the child. The devil knows who you are in God. But he's testing you to say, "Well, I know who you are, but do you know who you are?" Yes, I do know who I am. Devil, do you know who you are in the eyes of God? Let's put the monkey on the other back. And the devil will go, "Yeah." And we'd go like, you know, if you're in a conversation with somebody that can't argue back with you, they start going, "Yeah, rightfully so." You're the devil babbling. Hallelujah. Okay, so we can do it in our own language. How about praying with groanings? I like this because anybody here groan? I know we all groan when we get up. Our knees, I get up from the chair. Maybe I'm taking that as a prayer. I don't know. But I love it when I found this in Romans 8. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself knows our need in the right time." Amen. He knows, and the Amplified says this, "The Spirit knows our need at the what? Right time." We have our time, and we got whose time? God's time. And we got Tulsa time. What time do you want to be on? God's time. We have to do that in our churches, you know. That's what praise and worship is about, you know, praise especially. But we need to have those times of yes, yes, yes. But anyway, let's keep moving. Praying with groanings. Know our need at the right time. Makes intercession for us with groanings which we cannot be uttered. Which cannot be uttered. For a long time, I always wondered about those things because I had those times of prayer when I would just, Oh, Lord, it is such a monumental thing that I'm thinking of that needs an answer to prayer. Oh, Lord, how is it ever going to... And then praying in a tongue that is known, it's an unknown to the one that's praying. 1 Corinthians 14:4-14. It says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." Amplified, so one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. It promotes growth in the spiritual wisdom, devotion, holiness, and joy. And then it says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays," in verse 14. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Talks in the Amplified, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive because it does not understand what my spirit is praying. It's like in our natural settings at times when we're going through something, especially when we're growing up, our parents and all, they always had our best interest at hand normally to take care of us. But at the time, we didn't understand it. We thought it should be this or that. And many times, a parent, a mother or a father would say, but I know what's best for you. I know what's best for you because I'm at an age where I don't know at that time. Maybe I was too young, never experienced it, whatever the case might be. So as our natural, and it could even be somebody you put a lot of credence in them, and not even a parent, just somebody that's mentoring with you or somebody that you're trying to grow with and develop in whatever the case might be in industry and stuff, your supervisor, your manager, your boss, whoever says, I know what you need, then you know right now. You know, I know the track you're on. Do this and it'll turn out. So I think as we look at that, that's where I find that when I don't know that prayer that needs to be specific, when I can't utter it in my verbiage because I'm confused, could be that I'm what? Worn down. That I've just dealt with it for so long. And it's not that God is late answering the prayer that I've spoke to in my verbiage, but it's here again, God's time, God's will, God's God. But when I get to that, if nothing else, all I know is I can just begin to pray in the Spirit. And you know what? I don't even ask for the most part, gee, I wonder what I just prayed, you know, because I pray it in the Spirit. Realization where it says in God's Word, where you pray the expressed divine, W-I-L-L, of who? God. Praying in the Spirit, you end up praying the expressed divine will of God. I mean, there's things that I speak to in my wife that I just normal verbiage, and she looks at me and she says, what did you just say? I go, you don't understand it? There's times when she says that to me, and I say it back to her, go, I don't know what I just said. You know, and just not praying in the Spirit. I'm talking about I'm just praying in natural English to her and trying to describe something to her. And she goes, what did you just say? So when it comes to things that I really know that I don't have a clue of, thank God for the Holy Spirit to pray in that of the Spirit. Amen. Okay. So thinking about all this at maintaining your health or your spiritual life says there's always been those who attempt to divert God's people from their main purpose. Whether angels or men, God knows how to deliver with the rebellious, but the believers are warned not to participate with such people. The wicked appeals to the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and to inordinate pride. They will pretend to love God, appear to do God or good works, but on the close examination, they are fruitless as the fig tree that Jesus cursed. The wise will be able to identify those whose object is to be God rather than to serve God. It will take a deeply spiritual heart to know how to reach any who are deep into the evil without being contaminated themselves, but still by loving. And as we pray continuously in the Spirit, know that this promise, a certain and holy self-edification, which is imperative if you want to build others up. Persist in loving attitudes. And it's to be loving. Even some of these situations that we know people are kind of on the downhill slope, it's not like to just turn your attention from them, but it's to pray for them. I know we pray for, and I've said this before, we pray for our nation, our leadership, and our government. We need to pray for churches and churches around us and leadership in our churches to be viable and strong in these things. Now, I want to get back in the closing here, and it's not a whole lot I want to share about it because it's pretty well tells you, I guess. When I go back to Jude, okay, we're in Jude 1:3, verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to what? Contend earnestly for the faith, which was what? Once and for all delivered to the saints. When we find that word contend, a contender, a rivalry, fighting against something, contending, we find that this was not a Super Bowl service, but I could tell you tonight at whatever time, There's going to be two teams on the field, and each one are contending to become what? Super Bowl champions. And it's going to take, guess what? Every member on each one of those teams to do their part to fulfill that possible destiny that one of those teams is going to have to where they will be crowned Super Bowl champions. It's not going to be by just the quarterback or just this person or the running back, all these people, I don't know, the backs back, you know, the water boy, you know, they all have to play a part. But we find that in contending. And here Jude is talking, we need to contend. We need to, it's a rivalry. We got to fight again. There's going to be against difficulties. Have you found difficulties against what? Your faith and the things of your faith? Beloved, while I was very diligent to write you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Things of our salvation. This goes into a lot of things there. But as we look at this, it tells me that I need to contend for faith. I need to be, there's something that wants to take your faith away. What takes faith away? We could all come up with probably something. You know, we can, doubt. Doubt takes your faith. If you're in doubt, you're not walking in faith, you know. If you're putting your trust in something else besides that of God, you don't need faith for that. If you're putting your trust in your bank account, you don't need God to think as your provider, but yes, you do. All these things, whatever we want to put in it, we got to contend for the faith that is there with us. Jude apparently discontinues another letter that he's writing as we begin to read the first of Jude to write this to these Christians in order to warn them of crafty false teachers who have infiltrated the world and the church. This is a footnote, okay? This is in the Bible, but it's talking about here's a expanding on this. Christians, in order to warn them of the crafty false teachers who have infiltrated the church, the faith delivered to the saints is the apostolic teaching given believers in the earliest days of the church. It is this teaching that was being perverted and for which Christians must contend for. The corruption of the faith is found in self-centered, unloving behavior, immoral or sensual lifestyles, and in distorted or deceitful teachings. The corruption of the faith is found in self-centeredness, unloving behavior, immoral or sensual lifestyles, and in distorted. What's distorted? This is kind of, when I think of that, it's just like it's got a little bit of truth in it, but it's not all truth. You know, it's got a little of this and a little of that. It's distorted. Lack of focus. Distorted. Yeah, we look at that as far as what this can be, as far as the distorted view that we have. There is a distorted view that people have of the Bible. There's a distorted view that they look at themselves as better than the person next to them. So if I'm doing better than them, then I'm okay. I'm not totally where God wants me, but I look at this person, my goodness, he or she is way off of the needle on that, you know, but look at me, God, look at who, you know, there it goes into that understanding of thinking of sin is, well, look at their sin being bad is a 8, my sin's only a 2, I don't feel so bad. You know, that distorted, I've got a distorted view of that to me, and what I begin to look at myself, we try to begin to compare ourselves to those around us, to make us feel better. We compare us to other churches to make us feel better or whatever, whatever the case might be. But we've got to be cautious because it's lifestyles or it's a distortion or a deceitful of what? Teachings. So it's distorted or deceitful teachings, it says here. So it's got distorted or, O-R, deceitful teachings. And you've got to be cautious. You've got to watch me. You've got to watch your Bible. You've got to follow your Bible and not follow what I put over here on this piece of paper, because I can take a verse out of the Bible and cut 2 or 3 words out of it and read it to you, and it sounds so good, and all your heads are out there like the bobblehead. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, that sounds like God. Yeah. We got to be watchful that we don't become a bobblehead church. So again, talking about Jude has a lot of good things there, but it's kind of like a bookends, you know. I started off really in the contending for the faith, and then as I got over here, it's like, but we got to maintain our life with God, but I've got to contend. We have to contend. In Philippians, it says, it talks about striving and suffering for Christ. So Philippians 1, 27 and 28, only let your conduct, now your conduct is your life as a citizen of the kingdom, really. It's your conduct. Your life as a citizen of God's kingdom, be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of what? The gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, not just one adversary, but there's multiple adversaries, which is to them proof of perdition or proof of destruction, but to you of salvation, and that from God. So that kind of gets back to that point of distortions and teachings and where we're at on things. Never look at me and compare yourself to me and think that if I can just be a little bit better than Tim, I'll be a lot better to God. No, it'd be a lot better than Tim. Just worry about ourselves. I worry about myself. I just have to focus on where I'm at with the things of God and continue to know that I need to contend for that faith, and that I need to what? Contend, and that I need to maintain that by your most holy, by praying in the Holy Spirit. That's why there's such a focus. Hopefully, every church ought to be totally focused, for if nothing else, about the Holy Spirit. It's not that we're a oneness church of just the Holy Spirit, but we're a church of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But yet the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is there at this point and juncture of our time, where we're at in the scope of God's timing, that's how he's speaking and ministering into the church at large. Hallelujah. So, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. But I want to pray. Hallelujah. Does anybody have anything specific for prayer?